This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a key AFC South showdown between Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Titans in Smashville. While others will see Kansas City hosting Denver plus regional action, it's all beginning with JB and the guys setting up the day on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Lakers forward Anthony Davis, AD, averaged 35-8, 2.5 dimes, 2 blocks as the Lakers went a perfect 4-0. AD, the Player of the Week, brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back. When it comes to the safety and industrial supplies, keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Granger.com. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico, 855-212-4227. Here's what you can do. You can save a bunch of money if you switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Our buddy Aaron Torres, Fox Sports and the Aaron Torres Podcast, joins us from Lipstick City. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Happy New Year. What up, Aaron?
Scotty, I seem to remember last December, I think you took the whole month off. What are you even doing, man?
Yeah, I have 5 shows left, and I'm going to take the rest of the year off. Literally, whatever it is, I think I have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, and then Monday, Tuesday, and then I'm done for the year, and then everyone hates me that I do it. I get grief from fans, and I get grief from suits, but I never liked them anyway, so what's the difference?
Yeah, I read an article. You were interviewed in one time. You didn't have the nicest thing to say about those suits. But listen, I'm happy you're here. I'm happy to chat with you. And I hope all is well. And I hope you enjoy these last few shows of 2019.
Thanks, brother. What did you think of Texas Tech's performance tonight and, beating Louisville and then Maryland lost tonight? And are you watching the Hoosiers, my hurrying Hoosiers against UConn?
Well, I'm watching my UConn Huskies class of 2007. I think it was kind of a wild night in college hoops. I am personally of the belief, listen, Texas Tech needed this win because obviously, look, they lost 3 straight. But I'll also say that, Louisville, I think even though they were number one in the country, coming into this game, I think they have real issues, Scotty. I'm sure you had on the game in against Michigan State on in the studio, and
right.
That was a game that even though they won, it was sloppy, and they basically had one player, their star Jordan Nwora, played well in that game. And so I only bring it up because I think against the two best teams they've played all year, I don't think they look very good in either. I think they have real problems at the guard spot. Louisville fans don't want to hear it, but even though they were number one coming into today, I think they got some big questions going into ACC play.
Yeah, I think they're a good team, and I'm not denying that. I think that, well, let me just say this, that I believe that the worst thing in the world now in sports is weekly college basketball and football rankings, and power rankings are even worse than that. There is nothing worse. It's the kiss of death being a number one. But I just don't think it matters ever at the beginning of the season, middle of the season, even the last quarter of the season. All that matters, as you know, Aaron, get in the tournament and win in advance. And if you win it all, you're number one. Every other poll means absolutely jack shack.
No, 100%. And, you know, Scotty, this has been one of my arguments for many years, and I'll even take it a step further. Not only do I not particularly like preseason's poll specifically, we're, you know, 100 years into the poll era, and we still haven't figured out what we're supposed to be doing with these polls. Is it the team that we think is the best right now? Is it the team with the best resume? Is it the team that we think will be the best when whatever playoff in college football or college basketball comes about? And so that's kind of my issue. You know, listen, I do a weekly top 25 because everybody wants to see it, and people get mad at me because I actually am one of those guys that overreacts and says, like, okay, you know, I'm going to base my rankings based on what I've seen and not my preseason expectations.
Right.
And so, yeah, this week I had Ohio State number one, and people said, well, Louisville just beat Michigan. I said, well, Ohio State's beating Villanova and UNC
like
by 25 apiece. So
like
that's my bigger issue. Sorry, Scott, I'm going to cut you off.
No, I like them. In fact, if I were to say right now, the two best teams I've seen play are Duke and Ohio State.
Yeah, it's actually funny. I was having this conversation before you and I got on the air. I think those are the two best teams that I've seen as well. I would throw Kansas in. I know that Kansas lost to Duke on opening night. They've kind of juggled around their lineup. I think they have a lot better feel for who they are and how they want to play. But I'm with you. Ohio State's really good. I'm actually going to see them in Vegas here in a few weeks. You're welcome to hop on a flight and come hang out. They play Kentucky and Vegas on the 21st, so two Saturdays from now. Excited to see them in person. I'm with you. Those two, and I would include Kansas right now, even with that loss to Duke. I really like what
it's a great invitation. Except one of the problems I have is I go to Vegas 15 times a year. So every time I go to Vegas, more and more I get sick of it. I love Vegas, but I just can't go. I mean, I literally go 15 times a year, and I'm just constantly in Vegas. I'm in some casino with people screaming in my face and blowing hits in my face, and I want to punch someone in the mouth. I'd rather be playing basketball, as you know. So let me ask you this question. Aaron Torres with us. Michigan State and North Carolina, I have watched them both, and you talk about overrated. I mean, the thing that I'm noticing is I never saw North Carolina lose a game like that at the Dean Dome in 20 years. And I also think, you know, the home cooking that they get at the Breslin Center with Izzo is ridiculous. But to see them lose at home also shows me that something's desperately wrong with that team. They are clearly not one of the best teams in the country, even though everyone thinks they are. I think that the Big Ten season will make them look better, but I'm not sure I'm buying it. They're this great team. They look crappy to me. So does North Carolina.
Yeah, real quick on Carolina, I'll just make this quick. I actually picked Cole Anthony as preseason National Player of the Year because I thought there was a lot of, you know, Trae Young at Oklahoma going on. Even though the jersey says Carolina, they lost a ton off three first-round picks plus Luke May, who was one of the better players, believe it or not, in program history, and that's very much come true. I mean, you watch that team, and there's frankly, and I hate to be rude, just some guys that probably aren't good enough to wear a Carolina jersey or play the roles that they are. They're being forced into action. As for Michigan State, I think some of it is fixable. The big thing that I noticed with them, Scotty, Cassius Winston, I still like a lot. He's the point guard All-American, and they get a lot of buckets at the rim. They have no mid-range game. They have no deep three-point shooting game. I think it was 4-for-25 they were against Kentucky to open the season, and 4-for-16 maybe against Duke the other night. And so they got to figure out guys to hit from three, because right now, every basket is coming at the rim. And in college basketball, NBA basketball, period, in 2019, whether you're playing Scotty Farrell's pickup games or not, you can't be trading twos down every single possession, eventually not being able to make a three catches up with you.
Have you ever seen a Aaron Torres, Fox Sports, and the Aaron Torres podcast with us again on the bench? Have you ever seen a game, literally, I haven't, I've been playing for 45, 48 years. Have you ever seen a game where one team had 11 free throws and the other team had none?
I haven't. What game was that?
That was my game last week, and I'm still mad about it. Mafia knows that I haven't slept, and not only that, I got Rhea. I got Rhea five times over thinking about it. I immediately get irritable bowel when I think of a ref that gives one team 11 free throws and the other team none, and 15 fouls to four. They're both fascist communists. And have you ever seen a game where one team never shot a free throw, even in fifth grade basketball?
I haven't, and actually that makes me feel a little bit better, only because I thought there was a major college basketball game that I missed where one team took zero foul shots, and I was like, what kind of fan/analyst am I? As for those refs, they were clearly on the take. We needed an investigation. I don't know whether we call the FBI, that, you know, they were big into college hoops a few years ago, the NYPD, you know, the DEA, but we got to get somebody on those refs, man. You can't let them get away with that kind of nonsense.
All right, here's the deal. I want to ask you a couple more college basketball questions, and then we're going to break. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to do all of the bowl games. So
sure.
You're doing a double shot, whether you like it or not. Here's the deal. That's my Christmas present from you. You're doing a double shot. So here's the deal. Is San Diego State good? Because you're out there. And how good is Butler? Because they keep covering for me.
Yeah, so I'll tell you this, Scott, and I've tweeted out, and I know you follow me on Twitter. I love college hoops, and I know so many people in this sport. And I'm always picking the brains of assistant coaches, head coaches, whoever will pick up my phone calls, basically. I've had two assistant coaches, independent of each other, do not know each other, that have both played San Diego State, that told me they have Final Four-type talent and are legitimately a top 15 team. If you've seen them, they're so big down low. They're just a really good team. They struggled the other day just because I think they were a little flat after a hot start to the season. As for Butler, they lost tonight at Baylor, but it came literally down to the last shot of the game. They're more impressive than I thought. They were one of the teams in the Big East that I really kind of thought was going to struggle, and I completely whiffed on that one. Credit to them. They beat Florida. They're looking really good so far.
And are you buying I had that 5.5 with Butler tonight. Hopefully they covered. Auburn, are you buying Pearl's team again?
You know, it's crazy. So a little preview of my podcast tomorrow. I've had Andy Kennedy from SEC Network, former Ole Miss coach, on tomorrow. And we talked a lot about Auburn. What's crazy about them, and I'm kind of copping out of the question, they have, coming off of Final Four, completely changed their style of play. They were all guards and three-point shooting last year. Now they got a bunch of big guys. I'm amazed at how they've looked. I just want to see them more against better competition, because as good of a coach as Bruce Pearl is, to completely change your style of play overnight has been borderline incredible to me to watch. So I just need to see more of them. But, man, dude, they are just beating the you-know-what out of some pretty decent teams, and I'm starting to think they're for real.
All right, so Aaron Torres is rooting for UConn. They're down 5 with under 15 left at the Garden, the world's most famous, in the Jimmy V. I believe it's the Jimmy V Classic. So anyway, let's break. We'll come back and talk about the best bowl games, all of the best bowl games, not the crappy ones. We'll talk about all the best ones with Aaron Torres from Fox Sports and the Aaron Torres podcast. It's Pharrell on the Bench with us. It's CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
I'm watching this guy, Danny Hurley, who's been on the show a few times. He's insane. I mean, he's just completely insane. Like, the guy, you'd think he's going to take his clothes off, like, in the middle of the court. Like, he's just running up. He's a hyena. Watching him coach is so funny. The guy goes ballistic on the court. Like, it's like, I haven't seen anything like that in a long time. Like, it's not like Bob Knight crazy, where he was mean and nasty and scary. This guy looks like he's just done an 8-ball and is just absolutely at a nightclub bouncing off the walls. I mean, he is doing backflips coaching. It's like the most unbelievable thing. Aaron Torres is with us from Fox Sports and the Aaron Torres podcast. And now we thought we'd talk college football with him. He does both college rack and college football. So when you saw the Final Four, you know, and Oklahoma got it, and now they're facing LSU, and they're, what, 12, 13-point dogs, and then Clemson's favored by two or whatever, Ohio State. What did you think?
You know, nothing, like, immediately jumped out. That line feels like a lot for Oklahoma, but if you've watched them this year, and I know you have, Scotty, but for anybody who hasn't, like, this is not the vintage Oklahoma, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, up and down the field, every single possession scoring touchdowns offense. Look, we all know they were down 28-3 to Baylor. They gave up 20 unanswered against Iowa State and had to hold on in that game. The Big 12 championship game was low scoring. So I was a little surprised when I saw the number jump up quickly, but I'll tell you, like, I don't think this is a vintage Oklahoma team. I think they'll be able to score some on LSU. I don't think this is the 45-42 shootout that everybody thinks it is. Ohio State, Clemson, you know, I'll say this for Clemson real quick. They're playing as well as anybody on both sides of the ball. I know the competition's terrible. It goes without saying. You don't need me to tell you. But I just sit there and I say, man, dude, they've been so locked in really since that near loss to North Carolina. I haven't thought enough to say definitively that I love Clemson there, but I see why people like them.
Yeah, you know, I think Ohio State is a really good team. The way they came back on Wisconsin was very impressive. I never thought, believe it or not, that they were out of that game when they were down big early. But I'll say this. I think that really – at the end of the day, the Big Ten is a bunch of posers, and they were, you know what I mean? They were just beating up on bunk-ass teams that they could, none of those teams could beat, frankly, LSU, Oklahoma, or Clemson. They'd all get their ass beat. So I think Ohio State's really good on both sides of the ball. They are good, but they have been beating up on patsies, if you ask me. And you know, all right, I'll give you Penn State is okay, and Wisconsin's okay, but they're not great. I don't want to hear it, and you know it. And then now they're really gonna play a team. And what will we see from them? That this great vaunted team that's been number one for a while, and everyone thinks is so great. Are they really that good?
Well, and I'll add this too, Scott. It's something that nobody's really talked about, and maybe I'm overreacting. I thought it was kind of weird. Ryan Day, first of all, to go back to the SEC championship game, after the game, they ask Ed Orgeron on the field, should you be number one, make your case. And he's like, honestly, man, whoever they tell us to play, we'll play. And that, to me, was a guy that's like, dude, we played Florida, we played Georgia, we played Bama. Just line them up. Like, we took care of everybody on the schedule. And then Ryan Day, both on the field, claimed it. And then in the press conference, after the field was announced, actually said, yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed in the committee. I thought we had done to earn the number one seed. And so, listen, I know this isn't the traditional way that we talk about bowl games, but so much of these bowl games with a month off is preparation, and maybe that's a chip on its shoulder for Ohio State, but maybe it's them coming in thinking that they got screwed. And so it was minor. Maybe it meant nothing. I just didn't like that attitude from Ryan Day. And then, as you said, like, I'm not sold on some of the competition that they've played either, although the last 3 weeks against ranked teams, they have looked good.
By the way, UConn just tied the game with a flush dunk. It was great. Michigan, Alabama, in Orlando, in this camping stadium, a bowl game, Citrus Bowl. So let me ask you, you would think, like, because I think Carver High said to me that Alabama just doesn't care now that you're not in the playoff, that they lost to Auburn. They just don't care. I still think they'll beat Michigan's ass.
Yeah, well, listen, to me, that is the, you know, to me it's the most intriguing game, because I just think it's so hard to pinpoint what to expect. You look at the game, first of all, Bama, like, it's been talked about, but are they psyched? Are they ready to play? How many guys are going to sit out after playing bowl games, or after playing in playoffs? You know, what does this mean to them? And then Michigan, it's what you just said, Scotty. Athletically, we've seen them against these elite upper echelon teams, Ohio State, Florida in the Peach Bowl last year, and it's not pretty. And so I'm just fascinated because I think it's a motivation thing, and then I also just think it's a skill set thing. This is one, like, if I'm a gambler and if you want to throw down a couple bucks just to have a little action, that's fine. But I don't know how anyone can sit there and say definitively that they have a good feel for how this one's going.
Yeah, I do. Minnesota and Auburn. Minnesota and Auburn. Now, Minnesota, are they posers or not? Because if Auburn can beat Alabama, I think they're going to beat Minnesota's ass.
Well, you know, the only thing I would say about Auburn is the quarterback play was bad all year. Now, that can go one of two ways. You have an extra month to practice, you could look really good. Or if it continues, Minnesota is the wrong team to have bad quarterback play against or to fall down against, because the simple fact is they run the clock, they're great with time of possession, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, that's the thing that stands out to me. I feel a little bit better about Minnesota, not because I think they're the better team, but the quarterback play with Auburn concerns me. And also, like, dude, I know people like to pick apart P.J. Fleck, but that dude has his team ready to go for big games. This is the biggest game, frankly, that any of these kids have ever played in, at least in the postseason. I think they'll be fired up. I wouldn't be surprised if they did pull off the upset in this one. Assuming it's an upset, I haven't seen the line yet on that.
Yeah, I don't. I went to the Big Ten, so I don't hate it. I just think that they're not as good as Auburn. That's all there is to it. Auburn just beat Alabama. Okay, and Oregon, Wisconsin. Do you think that Justin Herbert can beat the Badgers in the Rose Bowl? I think that he's got a shot to be able to beat them.
Well, I think if the Oregon offensive line and run game shows up the way that they did against Utah, because listen, Wisconsin's phenomenal in the front seven, but one, they can be exposed by speed as we saw against Ohio State, and two, as good as they are in the front seven, they are no better than Utah, and Oregon absolutely abused Utah. I would also say they actually held up very well against Auburn to open the season as well, even though they didn't win that game. They were leading up until there was 9 seconds left in the game. And so I only bring that up because I actually do like Oregon in that game, and not just because I'm taking the Scott Farrell bet against the Big Ten mantra here. I just think that stylistically they match up well. And I do think, you know, listen, everyone says these bowl games don't matter to these kids if it's not the playoff. I think going to the Rose Bowl means something for Oregon. I think they'll be fired up in that one.
So what about Aaron Torres with us? Georgia-Baylor could be a hell of a game. Now, a lot of people are scared to death of Georgia, and I'm starting to think that they're not as good as everybody thinks they are, to be honest with you. And Baylor's a very tough football team. They gave Oklahoma fits twice. They lost to them by three both times, but they can go toe-to-toe with anybody. The problem I have is they're playing that game in down in the Superdome. So, I mean, all those Georgia fans are going to, you know, drive an hour down there, and that'll be that. They're going to own that building, you would think.
Well, remember, Scott, if Georgia wins, it's because they're the better team. And if they lose, it's because how could they possibly be motivated so close to the college football playoff? Or at least that was the excuse last year when they lost to Texas. I'm with you. I think for Baylor, it is about motivation. They are fired up to be there. I know they were, you know, a game away from the college football playoff, but this has been a dream season. They were 1-11 2 years ago. To go from that to the Sugar Bowl, I still think means something for that team, that program, those players. Georgia, on the other hand, second year in a row, in the Sugar Bowl, second year in a row, they were on the outside looking in the college football playoff, came up short in the SEC championship game. I really, and by the way, and here's the other thing, DeAndre Swift might not play in that game because he's pretty banged up coming out of the regular season. So I've always thought Georgia was overvalued all season. The defense is great, but the offense is terrible. And I'm just saying I would lean Baylor because I just think they have a lot more to play for. I'm curious about the quarterback situation, though, coming out of the Big 12 championship.
All right, Aaron, listen, have a great Christmas and New Year. Always great having you on the bench. Killer stuff tonight. We did a massive double dip with college rack and football. Fantastic. My man, thanks so much.
No problem, Scotty. Happy New Year. Happy holiday to you and your staff and your family. Thank you.
My man, Aaron Torres, Fox Sports and Aaron Torres podcast, a regular on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Who loves you, baby? How'd you like the 78% winners in the conference championship games? 78% of my bets hit. How about 72% in pro football this past weekend? You like those kind of apples? They're tasty, aren't they? How about the 80% hits in pro hoops on Saturday night? 80%. My God. PharrellOnTheBench.com is incredible. I'm freaking Santa Claus. I deliver. Best site, amazing price, sick returns. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. I don't know. Carver, have you seen the stories at all about this chick? Like, honestly, it's so unbelievable. Like, because I don't even... first of all, I know who she is based on the ESPN trouble she got in. But this Britt McHenry girl, she's now she's in the news again. She's suing Fox News here in New York. Apparently, somehow she made it up the flagpole to Fox News. From, do you remember she got let go at ESPN? And then did she not? I have it right in front of me. She said she was let go. This is her quote, literally. She was let go because she was white and made too much money, end quote. And then, you know, she had problems there. Do you remember when she after ESPN, she was working as like a Fox News commentator in D.C. And then she eventually, I guess, made it up to New York on the Fox News channel, right? So... whatever. I don't think one thing or another about her. I don't have any real opinion about her work because I just don't know. But all I know is she is suing them for sexual harassment now, right? So Fox News said that her lawsuit recycles the same allegations she filed with the New York State Division of Human Rights in October, which they filed a response last Friday about, Fox did, and they say that her allegations have been fully investigated and are confident that our actions, the networks, will be deemed appropriate in litigation, in court. And Fox said they expect all of her claims to be dismissed. She says it's a sanctuary for sexual harassers, and in a new lawsuit she's filed against the network and her former... co-host of a show she did with a wrestler named Tyrus. Have you heard of this guy? So anyway, she claims that the only zero tolerance Fox News is demonstrating is for her. The woman who's complained four times about sexual harassment and says the network does nothing. They always say that they don't allow any sexual harassment. Well, we know that's not true because haven't they had like 50 lawsuits for sexual harassment that they paid out? They literally fired everyone, the news director, the head of news. They fired everyone in the building that was doing it, right? They literally cleaned house because of sexual harassment. Anyway, she claims it's retaliation for a whistleblower against this wrestler, Tyrus, who she says crudely harassed her last year in text messages that included threats of pictures of his kink and comments about her kink, and her legs. She also claims she complained to HR and management, but instead of them doing anything to Tyrus, they gave him his own show in the suit. She says Fox never disciplined the guy because he showed investigators photos and texts of her kink, and her kink. The messages made it seem like she and he were flirting. But she claims in the lawsuit the pictures and texts were doctored and it was not even her. She filed a complaint with the New York State Division of Human Rights. She says even after the payouts of over $100 million in recent sex harassment scandals at Fox, it remains a sanctuary for sexual harassers, coddling and enabling the men who abuse female employees. And it really is unbelievable when you think about this chick, right? Like, am I making this stuff up? Like, wherever she goes, she leaves a trail of blood. Am I wrong? I mean, everywhere she goes. Do you remember she's the chick that harassed the chick at the parking garage? Do you remember that? Remember when she told the chick, you know, she was fat and ugly and all the rest and get a job. And
I remember that one. That's I'm rich. Suspended at ESPN.
Remember, I'm rich and famous. I can say whatever I want. Don't you know who I am? Do you remember this whole thing? That's what got her. That's what they got rid of her because of that, basically, right? They were like, get out of here. You're painful. And then now, I mean, wherever she goes, there's just a tornado of trouble. I mean, am I wrong? I can't even believe, like, wasn't that like a year or two ago? And then now, all of a sudden, here she is again, embroiled in another scandal. And you need to go away. Go to the, like, go on a cruise or something and just keep going. Just keep going. Go to Tokyo or something. Just keep sailing east. Don't even just go. Is that west, Mafia? I think it is. Past Hawaii, you just keep going and you hit Japan, I think, eventually.
You can go either way.
Oh, either way, you can go wraparound. It's just longer this way. I mean, is there anything worse than someone that just wherever they go, there's lawsuits and filings and blood, just blood in the streets?
Yeah, I mean, before you just brought her name up 5 minutes ago, I did forgot she even was around. So, I mean, she's not none of those political people are on my radar.
Well, you know that I like, you know, these scandalous troublemaker type stories.
But I don't get involved. I don't even.
You don't watch it.
I don't even know who's on those channels. I couldn't even tell.
Listen, if you think, you know, I know you don't watch it, but you know how nuts I am. Do you know that now I watch La Liga games in Spanish?
You gotta do it. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's because you can't get them in American, in English.
No.
Is American a language? So you cannot watch, like, you cannot watch Italian, right, or La Liga. Is that what it is? You cannot watch Italian soccer without watching it in, I believe, Italian or Spanish.
Correct.
I watched the Champions League today twice, two games in Spanish. I couldn't even find it in English anywhere. And he tells me it was on TNT.
Yes, they got the package started last year.
Oh, my God. I'm sitting there watching.
It's awful, too. Since Turner got it, it sucks.
So I'm watching in Spanish, and I could have watched the whole thing in English?
Correct.
What game did they have on?
They had a Liverpool game, and I'm pretty sure the Barcelona game.
So I watched the Barcelona game in Spanish, and I had no problem with it. Then I watched the, I don't know, Valencia game, which is La Liga. I watched them play Valente. Is that right?
Maybe. I'm not.
That's what I watched.
The three or four best teams, I couldn't tell you who else.
But it was a really good game. It was like 3-2, and it was wild. It was 2-0 Valente, and then they came back and scored three in a row in the second half to beat them. And I got to tell you, Carver High, that it actually is helping me. I think I'm actually, and Mafia is concerned, but I think I may be picking up my Spanish again. I took 5 years of it in college. I just wanted to say that I got through the 5 years of Spanish in college at Indiana by sleeping with my professor because I was getting an F. I smoked a lot of bongs in college, and I just felt that, you know, if I'm going to get an F, there's only one way to get a C-, and that's get in bed with the professor. You know what I mean? So that's what I did. Are we on the air? Anyway, I just want you to know I learned nothing in college when it came to Spanish, but I have picked it up again recently watching La Liga and the when you watch Barcelona, Real Madrid, or any of these great teams, I got to tell you, Carver High, you know I'm not even making this stuff up, that those games, those teams are so kick-ass, like watching them move the ball and pass the ball and because I think the Premier League's awesome. It's as good as it gets. But those teams, really, those Spanish teams and those Italian teams, that La Liga and Bundesliga, that soccer's even on another level, even that. Like, I mean, it's so unbelievable the way Barcelona and I watched Inter Milan and Barcelona move the ball today. It was like Picasso.
I mean, watching Barcelona and Real Madrid, those teams, they have their whole entire team is
the best
player in the world. I mean, that's just... And you got to remember the rest of the leagues that the rest of La Liga after them and maybe Atletico. I mean, it's a hack league.
They have no chance.
They have no chance against those teams.
Seville's pretty good.
Yeah, once in a while. But in terms of
Atletico,
I mean, 7 through 20 in that league is just absolutely zero.
I mean,
they have no chance every year.
So I've been watching it, and as you know, I love it.
Could say the same thing about the Premier League, too. I mean, let's be fair. Now, you have your instances like Leicester, once again, is having a huge year this year. But for the most part, normally, 7 through 20 in the Premier League, they don't have any chance of winning either.
So I watched Valencia and Levante. What did I call it before?
I think Avanti.
I think I was close. They were really cool. There's all these teams, Valladolid, Granada, Athletic Club, Real Sociedad, Seville. I mean to tell you, but watching these guys play is just phenomenal. It really is. Here we go with another bad story. Gerrit Cole is expected to sign expected to sign contract before winter meetings end Thursday morning, a record deal. So that's a story now. It's a story that he's going to sign a record deal. That, to me, is not a story. A story is when he signs the deal. But they make that he's going to sign a record deal a story where it's not actually a story. It's a story when you get the story that he signed. Is that not right? I'm the journalist here. When you announce where he's signing, how much, and when, that's the story. Everything else is absolute BS. Just BS coming, just flowing BS. Nice story, Jeff Passan. Keep telling us when something's going to happen, maybe. Who cares if it's Thursday? I mean, it's not a story until it happens. To me, it's just BS. It really is. Like, every minute they come out with a story that he's going to make a bunch of money. What a revelation. Thank you.
They're just dying for anything. Everybody wants to be first with everything. There's a billion people out there in San Diego right now at these winter meetings. They're all trying to be first.
And they can't get it right.
Right.
That's the story.
Here's one thing that you could all make this guess, and you're going to end up right. Saying that Cole's going to get more money than Strasburg, that's a pretty good guess.
What a revelation.
Because guess what? He is, okay?
Just whatever.
Anybody of us, you sitting there in your car or us here, anybody could say right now, hey, guess what? I got a feeling that Garrett Cole is going to get more money than Steven Strasburg. And you want to know what? You're 100%
right.
Here's another one.
Hey, I bet you Madison Bumgarner gets over $100 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe a
little bit. Any day now.
Right. Any day now it could happen.
Come on.
The Cole thing is fascinating because I'm very interested here, and obviously I'm a Yankee fan. I'm kind of invested in this. But
I'm interested too, but give me the deal.
I think that this is very intriguing because the Yankees have pretty much put a blank check in front of his face and said, whatever anybody else offers you, you can go on top of it. We don't care. We want to pay you. We don't care. We'll give you $300 million. We don't care about that. This is going to be on him. Does he want to go and live out in California and, you know, play for the Angels and maybe never win? And, you know, get the same amount of money and
no.
live that life? Or does he want to come to the big stage? Does he want to come
do you think
play for the Yankees?
I know, but do you think that his arm will fall off in 3 years?
No, I think that somebody made a great comparison the other day. I think that when he is signing this deal right now is about the same time when the Nationals signed Scherzer. It's like the same point. And look at everything that they got out of Scherzer at that point. So I think it's about a pretty good comparison.
So when Scherzer left the Tigers
and went to the Nationals, what they have gotten out of him since then is kind of where
so it's
Cole
Sabathia
is right
all
now.
Over again.
Yeah, I think that there's a chance to get a decent amount out of him.
Listen, you femmes need to get on the phone and start talking to me
but
right
Cashman
now.
Ain't going to get outbid.
No way. They have to get him. It's got to happen.
He's going to take a lot of heat if he doesn't, even if it's not his fault.
Listen, if he signs with the Yankees, I'm going to love him. If he doesn't, I'm going to hate him forever.
Well, I'm going to call him scared if he doesn't sign with the Yankees because that's what it comes down to.
Put him in a body bag. Sweep the leg. Great game at the world's most famous 54-51. Hoosiers up with a minute 19 left and a timeout at the Garden. 855-212-4CBS to get on a bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.